Hey there, and welcome to the Analytics Neat podcast. I'm your host, Bill Bruno. Analytics Neat is a weekly podcast that debuts on Mondays, exploring all things media, marketing, and analytics. I'd also urge you to continue the conversation with me directly, either through BillBruno.com or via Twitter, at Bill Bruno, using the hashtag Analytics Neat. All right, so this week we've got a bit of a rapid-fire episode. We haven't done one of those in a while, so I figured it was time to switch it up. So, three topics today. We've got one, Google investing in the cloud. We've got Facebook back in the news for being creepy. And then we've got WPP striking up a unique advertising partnership with Waze, the navigation app. So first up with Google, on the 19th of February, news hit the wire that Google was acquiring a company called Aluma. Now, if you saw it, you probably had some of the same thoughts I did. What the heck is Aluma? Why is Google buying one? Can they get by with only one Luma? Well, it turns out that Aluma is a small VC-backed cloud migration service. And as Google outlined in their press releases and various conversations around the topic, you know, one of the biggest challenges that they see to any cloud migration for any organization is sort of the data management element, sort of bringing data from a variety of different sources up into the cloud in one central location. And I would generally agree with that. I think data migration in general is a real struggle for any organization moving from one environment to the next, let alone from on-premise or hosted into a cloud environment. So Google, frankly, is trying to make that simpler for companies to do if they want to leverage Google's cloud capabilities. And it's no secret that Google is a bit behind both Amazon and Microsoft in this category when it comes to the cloud hosting race. So this is a good move for them. The devil's in the details, though, and there was one line within all of the different communication from Google that I found most interesting, and it was, and I quote, "One of the things we're most excited about with Aluma is the deep expertise for both enterprise and open source databases that their team brings to Google Cloud, which will be critical in helping us build out additional migration capabilities within the Google Cloud platform," end quote. And so what I found most interesting here was the mention of open source, because from my perspective, open source is a big driver of growth these days, and there's a lot more, not only just awareness of open source capabilities, but also an acceptance of open source in a lot of organizations. It's why you see some of the larger tech giants struggling as they continue to avoid open source or avoid the inclusion of open source within their core platforms. There are definitely pros and cons when it comes to this, to open source technology, but Google looking to grab the attention of those using open source applications is a nice play by them as they try to aggressively grow and compete in the cloud sector. Yeah, I think from my perspective, right, it's about understanding when people might want to graduate from open source to something more formal. Google recognizing that having experience in open source, so having the team from Aluma on board with that experience could be very helpful in data migration or in converting people to become Google Cloud customers is really helpful. But then also the data management side that comes with that and having people that understand the data frameworks and the design and data models behind some of these open source applications will expedite that, right? And could provide a higher level of competitiveness for Google against Amazon and Microsoft, where open source has been more, I guess, openly discussed in those organizations versus Google. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, but I think it was a smart move by Google to make this play. In other news, the Wall Street Journal was at it again with some fantastic reporting, and honestly, they have been spot on over the last couple of years, both in the media and analytics space. And you know, they launched an article last week and then did another follow-up on Sunday, and I'm almost sick of discussing it, almost, but they caught a variety of apps, mostly in the health category, that were sending data to Facebook unbeknownst to consumers. So some of those apps were an app called HR Monitor, which monitors your heart rate, as you can imagine, an app called Lose It, and several others. Again, all around the health side, all in terms of, you know, the workouts you're doing, your heart rates. There were things on the feminine side for monitoring cycles, so on and so forth. And all of this information was being sent to Facebook in one way or another. On Sunday, the Wall Street Journal wrote an update and stated that many of these apps had removed their connection to Facebook or the data that they were sending to Facebook. Now, that doesn't necessarily remove the historical information that Facebook has. Several of the apps have asked Facebook to please remove that and confirm that they've removed it. But also, Facebook reached out to these apps. The reason that many of these apps stopped those connections is because Facebook apparently reached out to tell them that it's not allowed, based on the initial write-up from the Wall Street Journal earlier last week. And of course, my opinion is that Facebook only reached out to these apps because the spotlight was on them again and they got called out for it. And to me, it sounds like this was a quote-unquote feature of the Facebook advertising SDK that many developers deploy within an app, you know, for their Facebook advertising campaigns, for audience targeting, so on and so forth. And to further that point, the Wall Street Journal can be quoted as saying that the Facebook analytics service allowed developers to see the sensitive data in an aggregated form and target their users with ads on Facebook based on that information. Facebook has said that it doesn't otherwise use that type of app data, although the company's business terms of service give it latitude to do so, end quote. So there are a lot of questions and a lot of arguments around this, right? I think the biggest argument is, who is wrong? Is Facebook wrong, or were the developers wrong on the brand side that are deploying this SDK? Personally, I blame both sides. If it's against Facebook policy, then Facebook shouldn't be sending out an SDK that has those features in it, right? If they're saying that it's not good and not allowed to send us information, then why are you letting brands send that information about their consumers to you in the first place? It just shouldn't exist. And brands shouldn't be just blindly deploying SDKs without considering what is happening within that SDK and better understanding the inner workings of it, right? What's being captured, what's being sent where, you know, how is consumer data being protected, so on and so forth. And, you know, it brings us back to that privacy argument again. Maybe this is quickly becoming a privacy podcast, but in all reality, you have to be a better steward of data for your consumers, and you have to question everything these days, right? Facebook is intrinsically designed to build advertising revenues, right? I mean, that's how they're trying to build their business, just like any other social platform, albeit Instagram, Twitter, so on and so forth. So to assume that their SDKs are being sent in good faith and that you should just blindly implement them would be a terrible assumption in today's day and age, because you have to understand what makes every organization tick and what success looks like for them. For Facebook, it's more information about audiences to drive better reach and targeting and thus more advertising dollars. And so with that in mind, brands definitely need to be better stewards of data. You need to start questioning what these blanketed SDKs are actually designed to do. And as you're testing it, you should be looking at what data is being sent to where and what's being captured. So on to some cooler news, and the last topic for today, Waze, the Google-owned social navigation app, announced a partnership with WPP to make it easier for that holding company's retail clients to target drivers with ads. And my favorite part of Waze has historically been the voices, such as the boy band option, if you're so inclined. But WPP sees something more valuable in it and has made a play to bring advertising in some unique ways within the app. And overall, there's apparently going to be five types of interactions that WPP will use with Waze to target different consumers. The first is what they're calling sort of a branded pin, which is a marker inside the navigation apps that alert drivers to a nearby retailer. If a driver was to click on that pin, they'd get information about promotions, offers, you know, so on and so forth. The second is a zero-speed takeover format, and that will deliver full advertisements on the app with directions to the nearest stores relative to wherever you are as a driver, and supposedly will only display when the car is completely stopped. So that'll be interesting to see how that one shakes out, as, you know, the last thing I think you want to hear as you're driving or navigating and listening to the radio or waiting, you know, for your next set of directions will be some sort of advertising spot in full format that might catch you off guard if you're at a stoplight or stuck in traffic. The third option is sponsored search. So this is something that I think has already been in there time and again, but it'll have a logo of the brand with additional information available whenever you're doing some kind of search on the app. So it'll be an ad that's injected at the top of the search results that you're presented with. The next one will be what they're calling Arrow, and that's a brand logo that will appear on the map and points to nearby points of sale that a driver can reroute to as you're along, you know, along that route. So you might see a logo and it might catch your eye as you're looking at the map, and you decide to drill into that or double click on it to be able to get more information. Again, very interesting in terms of how consumers are going to be able to interact with that. You know, Waze doesn't play in things like Apple CarPlay. on the cars as an example. It's not intuitive. It doesn't show up on the touchscreen currently, at least in a meaningful way that I've noticed. And so a lot of this is going to be on your device. And I don't suspect that a lot of people are going to be looking down at their device while they're driving. So some of this might get lost. But then again, I guess you're trying to keep it, you know, to where if somebody happens to notice it, then that's a win, right? The fifth and final type of connection is what they're calling voice command. And this one's kind of funny to me because of the voice comment that I made earlier, but apparently it will allow brand characters, and they're classifying brand characters as recognizable voices, so maybe it's things like the E-Trade Baby, to impact consumers while using the app and guide them through the route according to Waze. So this goes to the voices I mentioned earlier. So instead of the boy band voice, or at one point I think I had Morgan Freeman driving me, which sounded like I was in the movie Shawshank Redemption and he was narrating my life, which was pretty awesome. Instead, you'll get noticeable brand characters' voices as options to guide you along your route. So that's kind of a natural extension of what Waze has done anyways and what they've made relatively humorous along the way. But again, will be an opportunity for recognition of a brand or your subconscious thinking about a brand because you're hearing a voice, right? Kind of similar to, you know, when I hear the Empire Carpet commercial, I still remember the phone number to that for those of you that might live in Chicago or have seen that commercial, right? Those things just get imprinted in your memory. So that's actually a really smart play there. To mess with people's subconscious based on the voices of your brand characters. And overall, to me, this is a pretty cool investment from WPP, albeit it's potentially intrusive and annoying at times, but it is innovation nonetheless. And I think that adaptations like this are critical in the evolving world that we live in. I think brands have to be able to reach consumers based on location and trying to capture their attention at the right points in time. And we talked about the importance of location data back in episode 19, which seems like forever ago in the archives. You know, people still impulse buy, and catching the right ad at the right moment could be the difference between that money being spent in your location and your store or at a competitor. And I think offering incentives when I'm nearing a shopping center based on machine learning about the routes commonly taken, or the fact that Waze knows exactly where you're going because you've put your destination into the app, can present some very unique opportunities. I hope to see more like this, as convenience and incentives are two things that I personally care very much about. If you're bringing convenience to me as a brand, if you're offering me incentives to become loyal to your brand, I'm all about it, right? I don't want to pay full price. I don't think anybody else does either. And I think if there's some finesse against these five types of interactions that Waze outlines so that it doesn't feel intrusive and so that it's more informative than it is annoying, then we're probably in a good place. But regardless, I hope to see more of that innovation in the future. And with that, we'll go ahead and put a bow on this week's episode of Analytics Neat. As always, please follow the podcast at Analytics Neat on Twitter. I am at Bill Bruno on Twitter. Feel free to reach out with any comments, concerns, or topic ideas using the hashtag Analytics Neat. And we'll be back again next Monday with another new episode. Thank you so much, and have a great rest of your week.